Good morning to
Sauron.
Dorian. Yeah. How was the open day today?
It was interesting open day. I mean, we had people coming especially to discuss issue relation to the development of the residential zone. And we have made this approach to communicate well in advance all the idea and development that we have in mind, so that people can have participate more in the, even at the stage of preparation, and their point of view can be incorporated and considered. So in that sense, it was quite interesting and also fruitful. I mean that, and also we are expecting some more cooperation from the local residents in the future for this project.
Approximately how many people came?
Oh, approximately came about 10 people. Mm. We start once a month and then we see the need. Maybe we can do it more often. I mean, I think it's good that we have this type of things that people can come and just discuss without the formality of the general meeting what are their day-to-day problem, because I mean issue that we discussed today, for example, new residential development between Greece and RT, it touched very much local area issue and might be difficult to go into details of a general meeting. So it's been a good occasion, I mean, for that sense. And we would like to reinforce a bit this this approach on a case-to-case basis.
So let's go down to the promising project that, that was published in user notes about many units, so to speak.
Developments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically we are trying to have a comprehensive approach where we are trying to cater to different needs. I mean, to have projects for development, high density area, but at the same time we are trying to diversify the offer also with projects with lower density, middle density and low density. And we are trying also to open a bit about a solution, for example, that can be for people who want to have a kind of build themselves at low cost under a certain condition and certain guidance that Dolly can elaborate maybe on that afterwards. So overall, we think that we have a balanced plan that go from different type of section in need. We have one important issue also that is on the table, because we want to have housing, but we need to develop also amenity. Because the sector 1 and 2, that is the area between, say, between Greece and Prat and Samasta, is supposed to have 5,000 people and it cannot be a dormitory. So when we are going to build, we need to create amenity, service, some kind of communal activity, small shop, some place for social life.
Including the lines of
including the line of four, and is the area which is less dense for Auroville in future. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is so that we have to cope with this, and we made a big effort in the past years to just create housing. Now we have to make a step to create housing with something, so that the feeling of being part of a small city community is very much there.
And that proposal was based on the survey that was done a few months back?
No, the survey,
the survey is correlated with that? Or?
Yeah, what we're now doing is the survey is basically given us the demographics of the kind of people looking for houses and what kind of houses they're looking for. So we're trying to buy the type of building projects which we're allocating and the build-up of the size of units, apartments, singles, or families. We're basing them on the demographics which came out of the survey so that it should suit the needs of the people. For the common amenities, that was not taken care of in the survey, so there we would like to actually do a little community survey to see what would people like to have in the area and then to incorporate that into projects, especially the projects of the higher density, which are located more in the center, of the two zones.
So if you are realistic, because the need is big, how fast do you think you can come up with solutions or buildings for the unit?
There's two projects here which are quite advanced in their planning. They've been in the pipeline for quite a while and we're looking at the exact location where they should come and the densities they should have. So those are quite advanced in the planning aspect, and then so those could, I think, begin relatively soon, which, but I don't know, because we're not so the architects. Would have to talk to the architects, but I guess they would begin building within a year, and therefore then be ready a year or two later.
No, building much before than a year.
Within a year they would start, so it depends.
I'm expecting somehow, for these two projects, mm-hmm. I'm expecting somehow much earlier. I mean, I would say the major problem we have is the construction time in our village, because mm-hmm. our project takes long, 1.5 to 2 years minimum.
Why?
There are different reasons. Also, one part is that we don't have so many construction units. There is a shortage of labor, so that normally the record that we have in our village of all project is they have a long time of construction. For that reason, since there is a gap between the phase of having a large amount of new apartment available, and for the time being we have been launching a project which is called Trans de Lange, that is offer advantage not so much of low cost, also they are low cost solution, but it offered the advantage for being built very fast, I mean, and constructed very fast and be ready. So this can be provisional solution. These are projects which are meant to be for people which need to have a place for 2 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. They pay a kind of contribution which will be adjusted towards the new house when they move. There is a mechanism which has been set up by the housing service. So we are trying to take care of the stop gap that is there between the new population coming that need of a place to stay in between until the house are ready and completed.
It's already in the population that is in now with the newcomers and fresh arrivals. I think the need is for 350 units, right now.
The housing survey was filled in by 176 people. So that's not 350.
Yeah.
350 is projected towards newcomers, which are interested to come, and
with them.
Some of them have recommendations letters, so those people are not here yet. In fact, the amount of newcomers that filled in the housing survey was not that many, so we have to add some of those to the housing survey, to the general amount. But with all the projects coming up, which will more or less all begin, I guess, within 1 year, so the time until they are ready, at least the first phases of the projects will be within 3 years.
So, yeah.
That should take care of more than 350.
Well, overall, the project take care of about 600-700 people, and so that in the process, it will take care of the projected growth of the population in the next 4 or 5 years at the existing rate. So the problem is to fill the existing gap. So at the moment, we have one project of Trans de Lange, which is for 60 people, and if I'm correct in the figure which we have. We have a demand for 57 units at the moment in terms of newcomers, plus there are demand from our village and whichever. And we are considering two more sites for the transit period. And
how many are already committed to that?
Not so many.
Yeah.
Because I think it's again this thing of, since we haven't started building, people are skeptical to the fact that, you know, will it happen? But we're assuming, since there's a lot of people and waiting for houses, that is a very good solution, because it's just for a short period, and even if we start building today, it will take 1.5 to 2 years until
for a transit launch.
No, for the apartments and the new houses to be
yeah.
ready. So it just gives people, you know, a proper place to live in that time while they're waiting for their house to, and it's not this house hunting and house sitting and moving all the time, but it's obviously up to people for themselves to decide. This was our idea to create the transit lounge for people waiting to move to permanent buildings.
And with the construction, you said there's a shortage of labor. What about the possibility to hire the people from outside?
It's happening.
It's happening already, yeah.
For Cittadine and for Inspiration, they had contractors from outside.
So if that happened in those projects, it could go faster?
Not necessarily, I mean, because when we talk a shortage of labor, we talk in a general trend in the market, because there is quite a boom of construction all over the region. So it's not a peculiar problem of Auroville, it's a problem of the entire area, because construction is very much in demand.
And on the last column we see who's going to finance the projects. Yeah, so I'm wondering, okay, we know for this one, for Maitreya, that's pro bono partners subsidized from Indian government. What about the private?
Not pro bono, it's subsidized by Indian government. Mm-hmm. I mean, but with the mechanism of allocation, that mm-hmm. I mean, is not controlled by L'Avenir, but it will be controlled is other group to decide the location, but is... So it's financed, is a project entirely financed by the Indian government. Yeah. Then other projects, there are a mix. There are private donations, which are on the way to be committed, and other projects are entirely to be supported by the people who are going to take the houses.
Basically, for the people who are with the low income, it's still just live on in Maitreya?
No, we have Maitreya, we have Realization, we have the Incremental Houses project. That is, maybe you can say something on the Incremental Houses project. That is a quite interesting new development.
So, what is that?
But basically, that it's born from the idea that there is a lot of people in Auroville who have very little funds towards their own housing. So, what we want to do is, since row housing is a very good way to build in metropolis in terms of noise and ventilation, and it's also a cheap way because you use it's very compact, also it fits actually for everything, for the infrastructure. So what we want to do is, this project is going to be designed to have 50% incremental housing, which means that people will get a minimum infrastructure for a minimum amount of money, and they can then themselves, or with an architect or however, slowly increase the size of their house and improve on it and whatever, but so that they can start with a very minimum space maybe and very minimum facilities, but they have everything. They have a roof over their head, which is waterproof, and they have a good infrastructure around them, and the other half, 50% of the houses, will be totally completed and designed, and they will be ready from the beginning. And this is to so that it's not like one big construction site forever and that you get a sort of slum creation, but that it's a very good mix of families and single people and houses which are still, you know, very small and bigger houses, just to create that mix, sort of a healthy mix of everything. And this is, but still particularly aimed at the low income, or rather people that don't have a lot of money, but might have regular money to be able to do little things on their house.
Why is there no facilities to rent or lease?
We started this option about 2-3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not actually a matter of L'Avenir, it's more a matter for the FMC and the mm-hmm. housing service. But we worked on the basis to create a scheme that is a kind of rental, or a kind of you can pay the lease, and then maybe you can reclaim the house in 10 years' time or 15 years' time if you don't move, and whichever. So these options are very much under consideration. The major problem is that we need the seed capital to start with the project, and then to have the seed capital to have the few housing units to prepare in that way, and then using the cycle for creating a cycle for getting people in, and repayment with the repay and make new houses with the money that is generated by the lease. That was the idea of the revolving fund. But we don't have the seed capital to start
There's no option, because I think we're really strong enough to get a loan from outside.
We started this option also 2 years ago, but there are a few issues regarding the loan. I mean, because we had some First of all, I mean, loan is not a matter that we can decide ourselves. It's the foundation that has to give. And second, we made some negotiation with HUDCO, the Housing Urban Development Corporation. 3 years ago, we had some interaction that they were willing to give loan, but the condition of the loan is the collateral. And they wanted the need that we should have given as a collateral the land, collateral means as a guarantee, the land on which the house has been built. And we are not allowed to, on two grounds. First is one, we don't want to give, to mortgage our land for getting a loan. First, we don't want ourselves. Second, we have also legal barrage constraint to do that because it's a government land, so we cannot use our land to collateral towards ours. That is an option that we have explored, but it is not. If there are options where a loan can be given for seed money for this type of housing, where people can stay for 10 years and then either as a rent or a kind of installment payment depending on the scheme. I mean, still if we get loan, we are very much open, but it's not so technically simple given the particular legal nature of Auroville as an entity and what are the financial conditions outside.
For the families.
Well, the incremental housing is supposed to really cater to
the families.
Yes.
And also just to cater to anybody, not only to families, but because you can start yourself alone in your little house and then increase it as your family grows. Mm. For instance, start with 2 people and have houses which can be up to like 3-4 bedroom houses.
Yes. And even some of the other projects that are they are made with the consideration that maybe you can make a terrace and then the terrace can be transformed in the future into a room or something. Mm-hmm. That it is already considered initial stage. So
you said this one, incremental row housing, mm-hmm. but where do you think that's going to be? Because the site permission is still awaiting, yeah?
Yes.
Do you have any idea where that could happen?
I have some ideas, but it's not yet concrete.
Mm-hmm. And you have any idea if practical, so how much it will cost?
We're looking at providing infrastructure for max, the minimum infrastructure we're looking to provide, and it's not yet finalized, but we're hoping to be able to provide the ground floor, the first floor slab and the second floor slab, which basically is the roof. So what the easiest what one could do is have first live on the ground floor and have a covered roof terrace, and later close that up and
build up.
And we're looking to have that for around maximum 5 lakhs. But we're still in an early concept stage in the project, so we haven't crunched all the numbers to get the exact figures, and we're still looking at the exact grid to make that possible. But this is kind of what we set as a maximum, because it's the affordability and then, you know, is an important part of the project.
How come that the houses here, with the years, gain value instead of dropping with value?
That's overall the market in India. We are in a country with a big real estate boom. Okay, there are two things I would say. First, house evaluation is a matter of the housing service. So it's not a matter that I cannot explain the details, because that is a question that has to be made. Housing service. What I can say, because I observe the market in the real estate, housing construction, I mean, the cost of housing in all overall in India has increased a lot in the past few years. And in fact, the total cost of increase, it has been the increase of escalation of price that we had in Auroville is less than what has happened in the market in the rest of India and the market outside. So in that. In that sense, then of course that means that when you take an old house, that we should have depreciation. On one side you consider depreciation, but on the other side depreciation is adjusted to the present market value. Then the criteria of the depreciation is a big debated question that is a bit debated question with housing, because and it's also a difficult one to settle, I mean, because on one side we have there is one to say let's not use market criteria, but say it's an old house, so that let make it cheap for those that are coming. But if a Norwegian is in one house and has to move to another house, then if you don't apply a minimum of market rate, you make it impossible for all the Norwegian to move from one house to another. So you have to keep things in a certain balance. What I've seen now in a few cases, that is one I made personal level, a different comment with the housing service, that the way the house had been allocated at a very low price per square meter in comparison to what is supposed the real value. So there are different perceptions. So I don't know the particular case you have in mind, so I cannot comment on this, but there are different, because we have to keep this in mind. I mean, if one Norwegian has to move to another house and his work for our village does not come outside, I mean, it's not that his house is evaluated at the old price and the new house is evaluated at the new price. So the valuation
so
should be at the,
okay.
The valuation should be at the same level, no?
So in short, for next 2 years we can hope to how many people, how many units to have? 150?
Well, if both Maitre and the realization start, we can say 200.
Oh.
150. Yeah.
You mean green cabbage?
Green
cabbage.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is the evolution of the realization. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's 80 plus 40, 120. Kalpana, he wants to do 24. That's 145 share, depends. This is a small project. So maybe about 120 to 150.
The next 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And Sunship, depending on when that will come, will take to obviously too.
Sunship sounds like a really huge thing.
It is.
What
is
it?
It's a huge thing, but it will have a first phase for 40 units only. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that there is some fundraising effort going on, so we may.
So that would be like
may start in 1 year, yeah, maybe. Okay. It was born as an extension of Citadin initially, but it has become a slightly different project, with a different design concept. And
if you think about the materials, all these houses or apartments, the main source of construction still is going to be concrete, right?
Not
really. No. I mean, that's another factor we are trying to change a bit. That is also because, I mean, yeah, we have some projects like Maitre, which are built in a conventional way. And realization, of course, it has its own, or Casbah, but everyone comes, has its own technology of concrete block. And for new projects we plan to develop, and we are also contact us with some architects which are expert in lime and other traditional materials.
More sustainable buildings.
We are trying to make a shift in that direction. Maybe it cannot be done 100% in one go. Otherwise, because we may create a blockage that is too long. But more and more projects has to come with this element of alternative material.
Actually, what is the main reason that concrete prevails for last 10 years in building?
It's what everybody knows. It can be locally, on location, be made and used and constructed with shuttering, everything. It is not a high-tech material in that way. And it's relatively cheap. And it's difficult to find good alternatives. Mm. So I think it's the lack of people having really exploring new possibilities, but it also remains the fact that, you know, the reality of trying not to build too expensive and being able, it's an easily molded material, so you can make it, shape it to whatever your needs are.
I would say also now there is a trend also all over India, also the institutional level, to create system and standard for new alternative material and which are more sustainable. So they are becoming now more available. That was not happening before. That means that is, 20 years ago we were in a context of a developing country that all of a sudden started to move and developing in a conventional way, and of course whatever, and that was more or less the background and the scenario that made a construction process more convenient to be made in our world. But now is, and alternatives were very, very difficult. Either you were going on a very old traditional system, or you don't have much alternative in terms of study, in terms of material, in terms of, now these are available, so it's possible to consider something different.
Well, I would like to, in any case, have a carbon offsetting for every building, so that the carbon footprint of every building which is constructed in Orwell is known, and that there is some kind of offsetting for that. And obviously to encourage energy neutral buildings, not only in running but also in embedded energies, which are very much embedded in concrete and traditional brick work and everything. But there are so many factors to consider with that. It's also like, where does the material come from how far away? Sometimes getting a environmentally friendly material from far away makes less sense than getting a less environmentally friendly material which can be produced locally. So there's so many factors which play into that. But in the end, like at the end of the day, or as soon as possible, I have no timeline for this, but it would be nice if we could, you know, really build sustainably in Orwell.
We have made a resolution in the TDC that in the building application we have many document and the information to be provided. One of the elements will be the checking of the carbon footprint. We have made a resolution that will be included, but we need to have a transition time. Also to have the local architect, a lot of contractor to be ready to work in the new system. So we are evolving in that sense gradually.
It looks so promising.
We hope it is. A lot of these projects have been in the pipeline for a long time, and there's been several different issues as to why they have not been started, ranging from government grants and tendering them, and to design issues. But can't go into that now because I don't have all the background information. Or land not available for access is also one factor which is holding projects back. So we hope that now we're coming very much closer to being able to solve a lot of those issues, and some of that have been solved, and some of them will be solved within short
while. Because the voice of the community also is that something is going to bureaucratic ways.
Yeah, it's one topic we discussed this morning also, because one of the points was raising at the open session is that why don't you create a format, no, for financial and whichever, because for example every project has its own particular way to give to the user, to the participant or customer, whatever you want to call, financial information and whichever. So we are trying to put a system that streamline a process, to put the process in place, so we have technical information, which are structured, at least for the big project, and we are not talking the small project, which are structured with a similar format, the financial information which are structured according to the same standards, so it's the same also in terms of transparency for the customer or whichever. On the other side, we have one request to put this system for need of transparency and for in terms of donor and for in transparency in terms of the people who are going to be the beneficiary of the user of the project. On the other side, this implies that we have to do a certain paperwork, and so on the other side there is this criticism of bureaucracy, but we need to have a proper balance. I mean, I think that in there are two ways. I mean, because I mean the decision making process itself is not so long. I mean, but every project in Auroville need to go through an extensive type of consultation, and that takes time. There are two aspects. One is the consultation, that is a long process, and the other one is that the fact that until now every document were subject somehow to a kind of negotiation. Now with standardizing this, we'll reduce a lot of discussion time and negotiating time, because what document to be produced. One should know what has to be given if you wanted to have a project implemented. So that by itself is going to reduce the decision-making time cost. Then we have to take in consideration that there is a community process to be made, and that's another aspect, because when we are talking of this project, with the exception of some ship, they are all going to be taken care in what sector 1 and sector 2, so in more easy term the area between Grace and Samasti, and that means at the end when it will be all complete, it will be 600-700 people. That means more than doubling the existing population. Yeah. I mean, so on one side there is a demand of housing, on the other side there is the rest of the population. They have their own concern, and if we think overall, what is about that area that now it has about 500 people and is supposed to have a density of 5,000 people in future, so that we may see that we have for every project we need to go through a lot of community interaction and social interaction, and that is supposed to be the less dense area of the residential zone of Auroville on top. So we are now really experimenting on a phase where we are going from scattered development all over the region, try to go for cluster development and concentrated development. This, of course, it has a lot of social implication and social problem that we have to understand. It's good also that we do a bit slow, because also the development we had in the past, we are now seeing certain problems which are emerging by this moving into a more dense solution, so we are trying to keep them into consideration. It's good that we do this gradually, this move towards more density.
We are parallelly, or actually we've been doing this for the last 8 months, is working on the development plan for Sector 1 and 2 with urban guidelines, which will then specify much more precisely what kind of development will come where. And then it's also, then it's very clear to the architect and to the residents in the area as to what kind of development will come in the area of where they're living. So then it can also be a choice of whether you want to continue living there or whether, you know. But obviously we're going to not put high-rise buildings in front of people's noses. I mean, we are looking at that in as much of a sensitive way as possible. We're also defining, like, how much is green space, where does the infrastructure come. So we're really, for the first time actually in Auroville, trying to put all that on paper and write up the guidelines so that it's much more clear for everybody as to what is going to be where, and there's not always this discussion of I didn't know that and why here and those kind of things. And obviously that document, once it's more or less ready, will be presented to the community.
Even the fact of publishing this document, it has a big, also the scope to shorten the time that normally is taken from the community discussion, because we are informing the community already at this stage what are our ideas, so we know, and already we are having few reaction and feedback on certain projects. Because normally the process is that you announce site permission, that is to be an announcement, and then afterwards a building permission. And the problem is happened that when you announce the site on the building permission, then the comment and feedback come at a very late stage, and that is make the project of approval much more longer. So by sharing the information already at the very initial stage when the project is under council for consideration, so that the interaction with the stakeholder is taking place, may help to shorten the community discussion,
yeah,
the community process.
We would be already adapted, okay, that's coming here, yeah, that's coming
and
here.
And you're informed of what it is, and then one can get more informed as you know, things are... And then maybe one can also say, you know, why don't we do it like this? We could give suggestions or whatever to change things, maybe, which the architect may not have thought of, or the planner or whatever. So it really facilitates... on all levels, of from the community to the architect to the planning office, to finally have a document like that, which is...
Yeah. So in that time, I think it's 2 weeks since it was published, what were the comments or suggestions, feedbacks?
A lot of not in my backyard, but also positive feedback.
Not in my backyard.
Obviously, it's not the same people which are asking for houses as the same people which are worried that there will be development in their backyard, because those people already have a house. But that's kind of the feeling one gets. First they ask for houses, and then they don't want them next to their own house. But that's a very typical reaction, and we're expecting it. And obviously there's also there's a lot of positive feedback that from a lot of people.
That is a problem, but the reaction we were used 3 years ago when we started the previous phase of developing sector 1 and 2 was strong reaction, and now the reaction has become less and less strong for 2 reasons, because people get somehow the information that the place is going to be developed and that the area is going to have a certain configuration at the end, and also because there is a more interesting demand of trying to live in a space which is a little bit more of a larger urban community than not just living in isolation on land. I mean, there are more and more people which are appreciating interesting this aspect of urban development, which in any case we have to do, I mean, because Auroville is not meant to be a project for 2,000 people, and we have a limited resource of land, so we have to tackle with this aspect.
Now, one important thing which we're also working on is removing all the fences between the community where possible, or at least making the sectors more permeable to pedestrians and cyclists, so that one doesn't have to walk all around, but one can actually walk through the sector much more easily. And it's very beautiful there. So that will create much more interaction, I think, also with different communities. They will be less in isolation. And also the upcoming projects are concentrating a lot on community spaces and amenities, so that it also attracts people from outside to come outside the sector.
That's the most difficult aspect that we have to deal with, that of the amenity, because we need to have amenity to avoid to create dormitories. We need to have places which are of social interaction, and we need to start developing at this stage, because otherwise it may become a bit dangerous aspect if the number of housing without amenities become too high. Now it's still at the level that you can accept, but if we double the population in the area without providing any kind of service, amenities, more shop or whichever community area or whichever, then it's socially speaking is not a good development. But amenities is the most difficult part to finance. I mean, because housing, some people is always willing to contribute for his own housing, some donation may come. Amenity is difficult.
Maybe
because,
services.
Yeah, but it's not so, I mean...
Depending on which services it is.
Creating service which are in a non-market economy, creating investment for service in non-market economy is a very biggest challenge. In principle, we would like to have most of the first floor to be used for to be kind of a public space as a mall service or whichever. As long as you have a minimum population of 2,000 people that you open a service for our village, you don't have the scale to make the service self-supporting. And if you don't start, I mean, so we are on a, if you don't start, then you create a social space which is just made of housing that is sleeping at daytime.
Thank you for today.
Thank you.